This is Positive Outcomes, a podcast for the P&O community. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Jeff Newell, your host for this episode. We have a great show lined up for you today. Nathan Spurger of Motion Control is here with us to discuss the importance of interchangeability in myoelectrical devices. Nate is a certified prosthetist with over 10 years of experience. And not only is he the clinical educator of Motion Control, he does a lot of workshops with me in the past, and we're looking forward to doing some new ones in this coming year. Thanks a lot, Nate, for joining us today.
Yeah, Jeff, thanks for having me.
All right, let's start off with one of the most basic questions. How important is it to have interchangeable terminal devices for a myoelectric prosthesis? So let's take a look at it from both sides, from the patient side, but also too from the prosthetist side.
Sure. You know, it's very important, Jeff. When we talk about terminal devices, you know, I always like to think of them as tools. So the user is always going to have that, you know, a much better experience and better outcome, actually, when they have multiple tools in that toolbox. So, you know, some of these devices are heavy duty tools. I think about single degree of freedom, hooks, things like that. And then some are going to be more cosmetic, maybe not as durable. Again, some devices are going to be waterproof, depending on the user's environment. That may be absolutely necessary for success. You know, multi-articulating hands are very popular, and there's a huge range of durability of them. But there's pros and cons there in both areas. So really, if it is possible to provide more than one device, I think we should at least attempt to.
You find in most cases, that's what you're seeing nowadays. You know, I can remember way back, you would have a basic hand. The odd patient may have a working terminal device as well, but it was very limited back then. Now there's so much out there. But are you finding more patients, you know, they want the cosmesis and then they also want something that they'll be able to work with?
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. You know, and I don't think of these devices as activity specific kind of things. They're all adaptive to different situations. So it is very common, and I would say becoming the norm out there, to maybe have that multi-articulating hand or even, you know, that cosmetic glove for different social situations. You know, maybe that user needs that for confidence in certain areas, but also they need to have a tool when they're doing more aggressive things. And just having that ability to switch those out, depending on the activity or social situation they may be navigating, is very important for outcome and usage.
You know, I can really see this as a huge benefit for a patient, you know, just on the financial side. Devices are extremely expensive, you know, as you well are aware. Do you see this as a big benefit that they can just have one prosthesis, yet it can function as two different devices?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a huge benefit. Again, when we provide somebody with a myoelectric device, if something fails on a device, the prosthesis isn't able to be utilized. So having multiple devices also helps that user always have a device. Maybe one's in for servicing, maybe one's in for repair. Instead of having a whole backup prosthesis, you know, they just have a backup device.
For a clinician, what are some of the common misconceptions an end user would have using multiple devices for their prosthesis?
Well, I think one obviously would be expense, right? It is a consideration depending on who the payer is or how things are being funded. You know, as clinicians, we know we have to justify and reason and give good reasoning why this user needs multiple devices. So I think that is something that needs to be looked at. You know, when as far as options go between the different devices, if we can provide those users, you know, with different devices and help them make responsible decisions when choosing the appropriate device for whatever situation, it's going to prevent the abuse. It's going to prevent that accidental damaging of a device. So that will, in the long run, reduce the amount of repairs and replacement these devices need.
A lot of it, I would say, would have to come down to patient education as well.
Yeah, no, that's exactly correct. Spending that extra time with the patient and really developing that plan of care, it's going to be customizable and specific for each different patient. So giving them the education on what this terminal device is good for, what's appropriate use of one terminal device versus appropriate use of a different device. They're going to have, like I said, the range is so large. I mean, we have very heavy duty devices out there in the field. that we can use, that those farmers can use, that those heavy duty users can abuse or actively use in their vocation. So the training or education, and really at the beginning of that plan of care, finding out what this user wants to do.
All right. Nate, you as the clinician, have you experienced or seen when it comes to setting up a MyoLark device, any issues within the interchangeability?
You know, I would say most questions or concerns that I get from clinicians are about compatibility and will the different devices work together, right? They want to make sure this isn't not only too complicated for the user, but also they don't want it to be complicated for them when they're designing and setting up these things. You know, almost all the terminal devices on the market today have built-in controllers. So that microprocessor is in the actual terminal device. That processes the signals. And so our settings are saved directly to that terminal device. That's a lot of what I talk about is once you get the device programmed and appropriate settings in there, that user has the ability to just power down the prosthesis, pop off device, pop the different device back on, and they're right back in business. You know, it may take a little extra time to program different devices, you know, initially, but with today's technology, most of these settings and software things can be done using handheld apps. So yeah, it adds a little bit of time for patient training, but the benefits, you know, the benefits of having multiple devices is definitely worth it.
Mm-hmm. No, you pinpointed a huge point, I think, in that you stated that, you know, it has to be the ease of use for the patient, of course, but also for the practitioner. If you have a device that's very complicated and very hard to program, you know what's going to happen. Even though it's going to benefit the patient, a lot of times the practitioner will walk away.
That's exactly right. Time, right? We know these upper limb, the time we spend with upper limb users is already exaggerated, right? We need a lot more time. There's a lot of different things that go into these myoelectric devices and especially training. So yeah, I mean, I would just say that it is worth spending the extra time. And again, these devices have been simplified with technology. So you can always reach out and we can work with you to get these things and all these settings and programming apps working for you.
So what are the key points, do you think, when it comes to fabrication of any of these new devices for a myoelectric prosthesis? What are some of the things you need to keep in mind when looking at doing multiple terminal devices?
Now, that's a great question, Jeff. I would say really one of the most important things to consider for fabrication issues is the length of the prosthesis, right? Different terminal devices, they're going to have different lengths. Some of them incorporate wrist flexion units into the actual terminal device. Some of them need to be added at that proximal end if we're using flexion. So just one of the things that can cause length discrepancies, right? And the actual devices themselves are going to be different lengths, you know, as hooks opposed to multi-articulating hands. So I like to always plan out the entire design. You know, reach out to distributors, reach out to manufacturers, get those demo units sent to you, set all these things up diagnostically. So you know what the end result's going to be. That's going to make the end of that fitting and delivery a much better experience.
I guess, too, some of the things you need to keep in mind is the weight of these different devices, too. You know, it's all going to be at the distal end of the prosthesis, so it's going to even feel heavier. So, that for sure needs to be taken into account.
Yeah, exactly. Again, multi-articulating hands are going to be heavy, you know, and depending what kind of devices or what kind of other actuators we have incorporated into the end of that prosthesis, definitely going to add weight. So again, I think that's another case for getting these demo units and getting loaners and get them on your user so they understand what the weight differences are going to be. Great point, Jeff.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea, getting loaners in first. You know, when a patient comes in, and most of the time they want everything they can possibly get. They want to get back to normal as much as possible. And if it includes a wrist rotator and a multi-articulating hand, you know, that's what they want. And getting a loaner in there and actually seeing what it takes to function with one of these devices, what it takes to seeing the weight of that device and the length of that device, even if it will fit, I think is a great way to start things out. And, you know, you're not going to get your patient and your practitioner then upset at the end of the day when they're thinking something's going to happen when it's not going to happen.
Yeah, great point. Another great point, Jeff. Especially in the day of social media, right? You know, we can see on Instagram and everywhere else, you know, one user may have a setup, but that may not be optimal for all users. So again, what a great point to really the practitioner and the patient need to be on the same page. And again, that's going to come back to that initial plan of care. What do you do? What do you want to do? What kind of tools do you need to accomplish what you want to?
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, the patient needs to see that face to face before they really grasp onto it. You know what? I thought this would work for me, but you know, seeing it and trying it, really, it doesn't. So you get that fallacy out of the way right off the bat so that they're not always thinking, well, that could have worked, when you know now that it doesn't work. So I really am a strong believer in getting trial units out first.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's just a very important part of the process, mm-hmm. you know, in having that real life outcome, good outcome for that user.
All right, any final advice you have for clinicians, technicians, when it comes to interchangeability for a myoelectric device, as far as, you know, we touched on fabrication, but any other key tips that you've seen in the past that you want to close up with?
You know, I would just say, I think we really covered a lot of things, and a lot of it comes back to what we just talked about getting those demos, trying multiple devices on your user. You know, just again, that's going to help provide the outcome everyone wants. You know, again, a lot of times these patients, again, they're going to see these things before they come into your office. They're going to do their own education right now, especially because mm-hmm. it's so easy. So again, really talking to them, finding out what the goals are, and then getting multiple devices, like we've talked about already. That's really the importance of the plan of care. And you know, we want to engage with the patient and give them the opportunity to find out what's going to work for them.
Okay. And with that, thank you very much for listening to this episode. I'd like to thank Nate from Motion Control for stopping by to chat with us. Of course, if you have a show or topic for future episodes, you can email us at positiveoutcomes@ortoped.ca. New episodes are released every other Thursday at positiveoutcomes.ca or wherever you get your podcasts. If you enjoy the show, be sure to give us a 5-star rating. Positive Outcomes is a production of Ortoped ULC in conjunction with our partners, produced by Jonathan Stone and Frederick Solvay, and hosted by myself, Jeff Newell, and Simon Beals. Again, thanks for listening. Until next time.